We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Coming to you from PJ's on Airline Highway. Make sure you go and check them out. Right across the street from Rouse's, beautiful location, new store, one of the best ones in the city. I'm here with Mike. We're going to break down some more stuff about the OC, rank the open jobs, take stock of the NFC South, preview the upcoming championship weekend.
Lots happened in the NFC South since our last show.
Everything has happened in the NFC South since our last show. So we're going to break all that stuff down and a whole lot more. If you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers. Best prices, best customer care, best cars, dealerships all over the region. Any type of car you want, he'll get you in. Best price, most best experience that you can have. All right, let's hit these ads. New Orleans Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hardhide Punch Tool's Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is excited to announce the opening of their new engagement salon. Valentine's Day is coming up, so if you plan an engagement, make sure you go and check them out. They got beautiful rings at all kinds of prices. They're affordable if you need it to be affordable, and they got the high-end stuff if you need the high-end stuff. Friend & Company has a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from, and while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earrings and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, lead topic. How can the Saints' next offensive coordinator get the most out of Derek Carr? Carr and the Saints' passing offense were trending up over the last 6 weeks of the season, but it took them a while to get there. Now he will be starting over in a new offensive system, and as we've seen, he struggled with that throughout his career. Do we consider Carr a selling point for OC candidates, knowing they have an established QB to come in and hit the ground running with? And what are the strengths they should build around in the areas they need to make better for Derek Carr?
I mean, it's a great question, isn't it? Is he a selling point or not? I feel like it's kind of in between. I think it's how we feel about Derek Carr. Like, I like that the Saints aren't in a quarterback limbo right now, but they don't have a top 10 quarterback. It's not the same as saying, hey, you get to go work with Justin Herbert. It's not the same as saying, hey, we've got the number one or two pick in the draft. You get to work with Caleb Williams or Drake May. But I do feel like if you have a system and you've got ideas on how you want to run it, I think you're like, yeah, I got a professional quarterback who's going to run this system for me right away. I've got the receivers, the talented playmakers. I've got Alvin Kamara. I've got some offensive linemen I can work with. I think it would be attractive. I mean, my only pause is Derek Carr struggled in his first year with John Gruden before they really took off together. Derek Carr really struggled in his first year with Josh McDaniels. Derek Carr struggled for the first few months with Pete Carmichael Jr. before he finished the season so strong. So, I mean, I guess that's true of anyone that a new offensive coordinator is going to work with, but I think it's more a positive than a negative for somebody who's looking at this job and comparing it to other opportunities, don't you?
Yeah. To be fair to Derek Carr, everybody's except Tom Brady has struggled with Josh McDaniels. So
he struggled
in Denver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of tough to say on that. But, yeah, I mean, look, it is a trend. And it obviously took him a long time to get going here, and it probably take him a long time to get going in a new system again. Hopefully not. But, I mean, history has shown us that that's definitely a possibility of something that could happen with him. So that's interesting, at least. You know, as a selling point, I don't know. Like, it's kind of – I mean, look, you look at some situations and, like – Derek Carr, Aiden O'Connell, like, yeah, obviously Derek Carr. Some situations they don't have a quarterback. Some situations the quarterback situation is messy. He's better than a lot of them, so at least you know what your floor is. But is it a selling point? I think maybe the way to put it is that it's maybe not enough to be a turnoff. You know,
right.
Like, I don't know
right.
if it's a selling point, but it's at least like, well, okay, I know how bad this can be, and as bad as it can be, it isn't that bad. I can work with that. I mean, if you're an OC and you don't think you can work with Derek Carr and make it work, you're probably, again, I've said this on a million different things, you're probably not confident enough in your ability. If
right.
you don't think you can make it work with him and you want an opportunity, I don't think it's a reason to say no, at least. Now, you kind of look at some of the jobs, and it's interesting. Like, there's a lot of open jobs. And to me, there's a top tier of jobs that are available. And I'm including the Bills in here, even though I think Joe Brady's probably going to keep that job. But I think the very clear top tier is the Chargers, Justin Herbert, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and the Bills. I think that's a very clear top tier. And then you kind of get into the middle tier, where I think it's like the Seahawks with Geno, Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, Carr with the Saints, Baker with the Bucks, and then I think you kind of get into the lower tier where it's Steelers with Pickett, Raiders with Aiden O'Connell. I don't know where you rank Bryce Young. It's kind of a up, but it's also maybe a down. Like, I don't know. It's a weird one.
A good job, though, because Dave Canales just took that right. head coaching job, and he is going to be the offensive
right.
coordinator. So you're not getting – that's not going to be your offense.
Yeah, but so, I mean, just but in yeah. general, though. Like, regard, like OC –
we're talking
like,
quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah, like quarterback situation, you're being the OC, whatever. Falcons situation is kind of messy to me a little bit.
Maybe they'll draft one, but they'll have to trade up if they do it.
Yeah, you got the Patriots with Mac Jones, the Titans with Will Levis, the Commanders Sam Howell. Like, so I think the Saints' job is somewhere in that like middle tier. Like, they aren't going to be the most attractive situation, but I think as you pair them into those other ones, like, you know, I think they're in that second tier of open jobs right now. Obviously, you're not going to be able to compete with Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, but outside of that, like Seahawks, Cleveland, Saints.
Yeah.
I think they're all Bucks. I think they're all kind of in the same situation.
And again,
assuming the Bucks keep Baker.
It's crazy, by the way. If Ben Johnson gets a head coaching job and Bobby Slowick gets the other head coaching job that's open right now, there could be 18 new offensive coordinators in the NFL out of 32 teams. But, yeah, I agree with you where you put the Saints in that category. A lot of people think it's very unattractive. We've said a million times. I think it's attractive to work for the defensive coordinator. So I think that automatically puts you ahead of all the offensive coordinator head coaches who are going to be calling their own plays. The quarterback you're going to work with. Yeah, Commanders is probably going to be really attractive because you might be working with the number two pick in the draft, but you're going to be working maybe under Ben Johnson there. So, yeah, I mean, you could go work for Raheem Morris. You could go work for Antonio Pierce. You can go work for Jerod Mayo. But those ones aren't necessarily better than working for Dennis Allen or Todd Bowles. So, yeah, I think they can get a good hire. But more on Carr, I do want to ask. One thing about Carr is he does not strike me as somebody that's not, like, pliable. Like, I don't think he's like a hard-headed guy who will never change his ways or anything like that. I think he's a guy who would be willing to work with a guy and say, yeah, that fits for me. I mean, I think the best years of his career were probably with John Gruden, who was like the third or fourth different offensive coordinator he played with. He seemed really eager to work with Pete Carmichael. I think a guy would like to work with him, but I'm very curious because you've done studies on this. What if a new offensive coordinator is looking at, all right, what am I going to be working with? How do they hit on the Derek Carr of the last 6 weeks?
You know, I found something that I thought was incredibly interesting. Because, like, I feel like Carr can kind of hit most of the throws on the field, but there's two dead zones for him, and it's fascinating. Like,
is one of them slants?
He's actually okay in the middle of the field. Okay. He's okay throwing deep. He can kind of hit.
He's really
good you in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
He can get you all the shallow stuff, but 10 to 20 yards through the air to the left side of the field, 10 to 20 yards to the right side of the field over the last 4 years. Going to the left, 44.3% completion rate. Going to the right, 42% completion rate. Like, he can't hit them, like, out routes. Like, that's quadrant, like, right there and right there. When you're looking at the passing map, and as, you know, the three across the top, three across the middle, three across the bottom, it's bang and bang. Like, so on the tic-tac-toe board, like, you're only hitting the diagonals. You can't get the line straight across. Like, it's fascinating to me. And I started looking at other guys to kind of be like, well, is this these harder throws? And, like, obviously they are. Everybody kind of dips a little bit there. But, like,
and when we had the whole Drew Brees arm strength question, I mean, that is when arm strength matters. You only throw one or two deep balls
a game. Well,
I don't
think he's lacking arm strength, though. Yeah. But, like, I feel like his biggest comp, like, it's always like Kirk Cousins. Over the last 4 years, same span, 60% in those two areas of the field. So, like, it's just something he just doesn't do well. So I feel like if you're designing an offense, you kind of got to hit, like, the I formation sort of, and, like, kind of maybe leave these alone a little bit, go to them selectively. But, you know, I think all this stuff with Carr is just kind of protecting them and kind of simplifying things for him, making his reads easy for him. It's all the stuff we've been talking about for the whole entire year. It's giving him some play action, giving him some motion. He's good when those things are working, giving him good protection, giving him easy options over the middle, dialing up your deep shots. Like, but that's how people kind of play football now. Yeah. It's not about, like, people don't want to have 15, 18, 20 play drives anymore. Like, that kind of used to be, like, a thing. But, you know, set up your shot plays and be smart about it. Have a strong running game. When you can support them all these different ways, I think it makes life a lot easier for them.
Well, first of all, one thing you've talked about is the Saints and the new offensive approach. They have to find yards after the catch. That's something that's disappeared from this offense long before Derek Carr came here. So they only had 715 yards after catch last year. Was that last in the NFL when you dug that number up? Okay.
Well, it was low.
It was low. And
I think it was bottom four.
The year before that, they only had 662. Those are really low numbers. But it doesn't mean that's something Derek Carr can't do. Even though I did not love – I think he really struggled to, like, lead Michael Thomas, lead Chris Olave, lead Rashid Shaheed on slant routes into yards after catch. It's something he has done before. I mean, he worked great with Hunter Renfro in Vegas. He had 452 yards after catch in their big year together. He had 301, 338 another year. So he can work with middle of the field guys. That's not something that's not part of his game. But you just nailed it. I mean, the numbers between Derek Carr's first 11 games and his last six games are so stark. We broke these down. And everybody kind of pointed to the last six games. They protected him well. They added play action into the game. Even though they didn't necessarily run the ball that much better, their play action was a big part of it. His passer rating of 117.2, Brandon's got the graphic up now, was the second best in the NFL, but the best was Mason Rudolph, who only started one game for Pittsburgh. So of guys that actually played all six of those last weeks, he had the best passer rating in the NFL over those last 6 weeks. 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His completion percentage was nearly 75% over that stretch, as opposed to the first 11 games. Only 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Passer rating 88.5. Next Gen Stats has this total EPA. It was negative 17.7 in the first 11 weeks. It was plus 28.2 over the last 6 weeks. They found something. It was working with the receivers who are still here. It was realizing the benefit of play action. It was protecting them well. A lot of that stuff can carry over.
Yeah, look, and it's not the yards after catch stuff. Like, I don't think that's Carr at all. Like, it's the design of their offense. Everything was too crowded. When Drew was hitting Mike on all the slant routes, they had no yak even then. So it's not even that. Like, I think there's times where Carr could lead a little bit better and stuff like that, be a little bit more technically accurate, maybe be a little bit earlier with the ball, which does help with all that. But I think it's the offense. Like, they haven't been good at yak since Willie Snead was here. And it's just the type of players they have. It's the offense. The offense shifted after the shift was from 16 to 17. 16, they were a great yak team. 17, they no longer were. And it was because they kind of, like, condensed their offense.
And became a fabulous running team at that time. So, I mean,
yeah,
they leaned heavily on that. Yeah.
Put the air back in the balloon and kind of, like, spread it back out. Like, it was just kind of, you know, just condensed a little bit. And the design of the offense didn't lend itself to that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's a Carr thing. I think they just need to get something that's a little bit more opened up overall. All right, let's move on to our moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. A lot has happened in the NFC South since our last show. The Panthers hired Buccaneers offensive coordinator Dave Canales as their new head coach Thursday, and the Falcons chose Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. A lot to get through here. What does it mean for the Saints? Their division rivals get better? Is it a net gain since the reigning champs in Tampa just lost their offensive coordinator? And, you know, how do you think things look here?
I'm not scared off by the coaches. Look, I think Raheem Morris is a good hire. I think he was going to get hired by someone this cycle. I mean, we all talk about how Sean McVay assistants are the thing everyone wants. I know he's a defensive coordinator, but it sounds like everyone in Los Angeles was campaigning for this guy. McVay was swearing by him. Every player that ever played there was swearing by him. Unfortunately for the Saints, he might bring Zach Robinson with him. They're really close. They became really close on that Rams staff. Zach Robinson might be running that offense in Atlanta if that bears true. And we had mentioned the other day, Zach Robinson was kind of our favorite candidate that the Saints have for their job so far. So that might be a blow. But I don't automatically look like, oh, Raheem Morris is going to change everything in Atlanta. Maybe the same way we would have wondered if Bill Belichick had that magic. Certainly Dave Canales, I mean, he did a great job in his first year in Tampa Bay, did great things with Baker Mayfield, did great things with Geno Smith in Seattle before that. But he wasn't like the number one head coaching candidate on everyone's list. And everyone thinks, well, now Bryce Young is going to be fantastic just because he's there. And he's gone from Tampa Bay now. So whatever wonders he worked for Tampa Bay, they don't have that anymore. So I think net gain, Raheem Morris, Dave Canales, I don't think you're like, they might do a great job. One of these guys might be the coach of the year next year. But they didn't hire Harbaugh. They didn't hire Belichick. They didn't hire Vrabel. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, Raheem Morris, and I just watched a clip with Mike Tomlin, like, talking about how he was the best coach in the league that didn't have a head job. So, like, maybe he just didn't have the right opportunities. He was the interim in Atlanta for a while, but it was, like, kind of 12 years since he's had, like, a legitimate head coaching job. Here's the thing, though. And I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I'm just saying, looking at it, and if I was looking at just the raw data without film or anything like that, like, you're just looking at ranks, you're looking at records, 21-38, 356 winning percentage. Then you look at his defensive rankings over the last 2 years in terms of points allowed. 19th, 15th, 21st, 19th. Like, the resume just doesn't scare me. Like,
right, the resume doesn't scare you.
Right.
But I think he's probably a great leader of men, just the way everyone talks about
probably
it.
Probably is.
So I'm not going to – and the fact that everyone thinks the Falcons are the next team waiting to break out if they just get a quarterback, it's a good job. I don't want this being on record and then having them win 12 games and he's the coach of the year. It's entirely possible. But the resume, we're talking about the resume.
The resume itself, like, it's just not – it doesn't scream out to me as, like, this is the guy, especially considering, like, all the list of people they brought in. Like, there's a lot of people – I don't know. Like, he might end up being the man. Like, he might be – look, I mean, if we didn't know Dan Campbell as a person at the time when he got hired – if we were doing this show from somewhere else or, you know, he was never a Saints assistant and he ended up in the division, we probably would have been like – what does he do? Like, what are his special qualities? And if you just don't know, you don't know. So, fair enough. But I'm just saying, on paper, like, when you look at it, I'm like, when I went to look up his like, you know, his resume here, I was expecting to see some different stuff. And it's interesting to me that he was in their building as the interim head coach, and then they brought in Arthur Smith to replace him.
Yeah.
Instead of keeping him.
They could have kept him.
Yeah, that's kind of – it's just – the whole thing was surprising to me is all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. Yeah. He might end up being great. I'm not jumping to any conclusions here. I'm just saying I don't necessarily see it on paper. Canales is interesting to me, too. Like, if you have a young quarterback, that's kind of the guy you want coaching him right now. So if that's what you had to do to go get the guy that's turned around everybody else's career, go get him. But, again, I don't know. Like, last year was his first year calling plays, I believe. Like, it's a fast ascension. I don't know. All I know is that the two people that were hired, immediately when you're looking at it, you aren't thinking, like, oh, my God, everybody's screwed. Like, it's kind of like, all right, let's see what these people do, and we'll see. So to be determined, I think, on both guys.
Canales, a really interesting point. I made this on Twitter, but you've been saying a lot. You've been fighting the popular backlash at, oh, no one's going to come to New Orleans. Who's going to want to come work for Dennis Allen? Lame duck coach. Who's going to want to work with this team? Dave Canales took that job in Tampa Bay last year, and I think it was even less attractive than the Saints' job is now. Todd Bowles looked like a lame duck coach there. Tampa Bay was not even like aggressively trying to win. They like settled for Baker Mayfield on a $4 million contract, and he was going to come in and compete for that job with why am I drawing a blank? Kyle Trask. Canales took that job. He did wonders with it in 1 year, and he's a head coach a year later. This was your point exactly, is people want the chance to show what they can do as an offensive coordinator, call plays, run an offense, and the Saints are offering that same opportunity. That Todd Bowles was a defensive coach. He was going to hand the keys to somebody. He handed him to a guy who just got a 6-year contract as a head coach because of what he did with that job. I mean, it's a perfect example of the attractiveness of this job in general. In coaching news, the Saints added to their candidate list today Brian Johnson. Kind of surprising that he got fired by the Eagles. To me, you know, the Eagles thought about firing Nick Sirianni, it sounds like. It sounds like they really consider that after they flamed out so much this year. And as a sort of condition of him staying, he met with the owner. He agreed to hire a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. So I think Brian Johnson kind of became a casualty of that, or maybe a scapegoat of why the offense kind of fell flat this year. But he was such a hot name for helping develop Jalen Hurts over the last 3 years as quarterback's coach the 2 years before that. He had 3 head coaching interviews in this year's cycle. So he's already lining up offensive coordinator interviews with several teams, including the Saints. But it's another good name to have in the pot.
Yeah. No, look, that Eagles situation seems disastrous. Like, yeah. I don't know what happened there, but it started to go bad and it just went completely bad. I don't know if it's like the pedigree of like all the Georgia guys. Like, I don't know what it is, but like something went horribly, horribly wrong there. So it's hard to kind of have the stink on anybody because it just felt like maybe the person running the show didn't have control over it. And it was just like, everybody's got to go and you got to start over. I don't know. It's mind-boggling to see how they fell off this season. But we're going to keep talking about some of the offensive coordinator stuff. If you aren't signed up to NewOrleans.football, make sure you do that today. NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Use the code NOF to save 20% off your first payment. Got a story up there breaking down the Marshawn Lattimore situation. Will they trade him? And if they do, what could they possibly get for him? All right, let's hit these ads.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, soft-shell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to PJ's on Airline Highway. If you have not been to this PJ's location, make sure you check it out. Beautiful spot, brand new store, great workers, all that stuff. So make sure you check them out. We are presented by PJ's Coffee. All right, let's get into our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Not a same segment here, but it is championship weekend. Who's the money player or money team or money coach for you in this weekend's conference championship game? And what's the one prediction you feel most confident in?
I don't feel confident about any predictions.
No, bro, that's what I'm going to say.
The way this question is phrased, I want to say Pat Mahomes. I mean, Pat Mahomes is the one guy I trust of everybody left. I don't want to bet against Pat Mahomes. And I feel like Kansas City is going to find a way to win that game, even though I think Baltimore's in such a great position hosting the game. I think Lamar Jackson is overdue. I think they got a good offense, a good defense. I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes, but that's the game I'm most excited to watch. And like, from beginning to end, I think that is a fascinating matchup. But I think I'm going to go with the 49ers as the one team I would bet on. I just think they have too many answers. I think ever since Kyle Shanahan added Christian McCaffrey to that offense, it's like, if you take Debo away, if you take Kittle away, if you take Ayuk away, if injuries take one of those guys away, then we'll just run for 150 yards and McCaffrey will have two touchdowns. Or if you stop our run, then Debo will go off for 150, and Debo looks healthy this week. So I guess the 49ers offense with all those weapons is the one thing I trust most this weekend that I would bet on.
So here's my note. I don't really feel confident in anything. I think the Chiefs will win, but I'm going a little bit different than you.
All
I said,
right.
Lamar is playing out of his mind right now.
Right.
He has FU energy. The whole offseason for him was FU energy, and I will never bet against FU energy.
Right.
So I don't know which way to go on that. I think the Chiefs will win it, but I mean, look, Mahomes is Mahomes. And
Do you think Mahomes has right now FU energy?
Lamar has that special, nobody believed in me, everybody could have me, I can show the whole world. That's different. Like, he was rejected by everybody, and he shouldn't have been. He's been rejected by everybody his whole life. So I think this kind of gives him, like, something real to dig into, and I don't know.
I'm glad Kansas City's a part of this. I want Kansas City and Mahomes to always be a part of it. Lamar deserves one. Lamar should be in a Super Bowl. I mean... Just like I think Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers both deserved more than just one. Like, Lamar needs to be in that mix, I think.
Absolutely. And that my other thing, though, is like that's kind of interesting to me. Shanahan's teams, like, they fold in big moments. Like, it's a weird thing with him. And this is a big moment. I think they should be able to beat the Lions. But I don't know that they'll finish the job. And I don't know if I believe in Brock Purdy enough yet. And if you have to put a game in his hands, like, can he deliver? I guess he's playing against Jared Goff, so it's kind of like the same problem exists on both sides, but
I think the Lions defense is the worst of the eight offense/defensive units still left in the playoffs, though.
They should win this game. If they don't win this game, it's like the Shanahan thing's like gonna become like a real thing here. All right. Next part of this.
This is our first Martin's question of the day, right? The San Francisco.
That's right. So we're on to the Martin's question today. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrels like bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's so much more than just wine. The Saints have two OC candidates coaching this weekend in the 49ers, the assistants Brian Griese and Clint Kubiak. Does that affect anything, whether they win or lose? And are the Saints just waiting for this game to finish to do second interviews?
I tried to research this, and I couldn't find a specific example of a position coach and when the hiring took place, but very similar. Bobby Slowick was an offensive assistant for the 49ers who got hired as the Houston Texans coordinator last year, and that didn't happen until February 12th when D'Amico Ryans brought him over. The 49ers were still playing championship game weekend, and you know, he didn't end up getting hired till after that. So I mean, I think win or lose, I think they're available to interview for the job during that dead week. I don't know if they would accept it and the distract. Maybe they would quietly accept it under the table and they wouldn't announce it till after the Super Bowl. I don't exactly know. I can't remember, and I really tried to research, has anyone ever, like, announced before the Super Bowl, this is going to be my last game and then I'm leaving to become the offensive coordinator of the Saints after the Super Bowl? I don't know exactly how that would work, but, I mean, those are two of my favorite candidates now, and you know what? I mean, at this point, the Saints have waited this long. They'd be willing to wait for it, but I think they need to get some feel from them, like, are you really interested in this job? Otherwise, I think next week has always felt like Senior Bowl. All these guys are interviewing all over the place right now. I feel like it's a job that gets filled before the Super Bowl.
I got, like, 47 points I want to make, but, like, one is that a lot of teams have not hired their offensive coordinator yet, and most of the jobs that have opened up are still open. So, like, I don't think the Saints are really
two hires out of 14.
Out of 16.
Yeah,
there's 16. There's 14 open jobs. Yeah, aren't moving any slower than anyone else. That's just the pace that is kind of moving. Two, I think Zach Robinson's kind of holding up the market a little bit. I kind of think he's the prize for a lot of teams, and I think the dominoes really aren't going to fall until he makes a decision. And I think there's probably 5 or 6 teams at least that probably think, like, hey, this is a guy, and, like, anyone that's interviewed him probably wants him. Like, he feels like the prize of the group. So I think that's going to take a little bit of time. the Saints could be doing second interviews with a bunch of different people. They aren't a team that announces things. It's hard to find out what's going on with them. They aren't sending out the tweet. We've conducted our first interview with Bill Belichick. We've conducted our second interview with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has been on Arthur Blank's yacht. They just aren't a team that does things like that.
Yeah.
So they could be doing all this stuff, but like their process is, I don't feel like they're hamstrung at all. Like the only two jobs I filled were what? It was, hey, I'm gonna go coach Caleb
Shane
Williams.
Waldron took the team with the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah. And then what was the other
one? And Dan
one?
Pitcher got promoted by his own team to keep working with Joe Burrow.
That's it right now. Like, so everybody else is running at the same
pace. And it's
pace.
Not like they would have taken the Saints job, but the Saints didn't offer it fast enough. They both would have taken those jobs no matter what. Yeah.
I feel like they're just kind of they're running their process or whatever. But, yeah, as far as, like, this changing anything, if they win or lose, I don't think it changes anything at all. Like,
okay, well, how about just perception-wise? No, just this – I mean, this is not mean anything other but like how the fans would celebrate. I mean, like if the Saints end up hiring, like if the 49ers are in the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl and the Saints end up hiring one of their position coaches, does that make it more of a home run hire to you then?
Look, I love them, and I say this with like full gratitude of the Saints fans. You guys are the best. You've built everything we have here. But they're going to be pissed off no matter what they do. Like, it doesn't matter. Unless, if it's not Zach Robinson, like, they're going to be pissed off about anything they do. They're going to hate it, and it's going to be either they're going to like it in a few months or they're going to hate it even more. So it doesn't really matter right now. Everybody's pissed off about everything, and they probably should be pissed off about everything. But there isn't a lot that could happen here that's going to make that's going to appease everybody. They're going to think it sucks no matter what.
It is funny that you say that, because Brian Johnson made me think of that today, which is he just got fired by Philadelphia. Even though he was interviewing for 3 head coaching jobs, even though 6 months ago, like, I think when we were talking about should the Saints fire D.A. or when the fans were talking about fire D.A., I think Brian Johnson was like the type of guy there, and bring in Brian Johnson to be the next head coach and run the offense because he just got fired by Philadelphia and they flamed out. I think that would be a hire that would piss people off. You're
probably
exactly
so.
Right.
Yeah.
To your point, though, about how things happen behind closed doors, I think this is true of every team. I think the Saints have certainly vetted and maybe even interviewed college coordinators, and those don't usually get out because college coordinators do not want to advertise that they're considering leaving because of the recruiting ramifications. So we keep saying there's 9 candidates. There's probably 14 candidates, and 5 of them are college assistants. And we don't know, and this leads into the next question.
There's college coaches on their list.
Yeah, for sure. And we don't know, this leads into the next question. They've been pretty mum on how serious of a candidate John Gruden is. So I don't know if he's officially on that list or not, but if he wants it, he's being considered.
I'm going to back up just a little bit, though, because as you were talking about the Eagles OC, it kind of made me think of Sean Payton a little bit, because like, he fell out of favor in New York. He got demoted from calling plays there, and then he goes to Dallas, and he starts calling plays, and then he's a head coach, and he takes the Saints to the Super Bowl. Like, so sometimes that stuff can be beneficial in someone's career, depending on how they take it, what they learn from it, what they build from it. But yeah, to our next Martin's question. In the event the Saints do hire John Gruden, do you think it helps or hurts Dennis Allen? Most players would immediately respect Gruden more based on his past coaching stints. Does Dennis Allen survive if there's already speculation about players respecting him? Like,
are you answering this one?
Yeah, I'll go first on it, man. This just goes into what I was saying about everyone being mad about everything. Like,
Now Gruden has the ultimate respect. I thought he had no respect.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's crazy. It is like, Let me just like back up and go to another, like, a Saints fan talking point that I see in my mentions all the time is, they're like, Dennis Allen doesn't want strong people around him because it'll undermine him and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is insane. It is crazy. Like, DA, if anything, wants the best coaches possible, because that means he keeps making, I don't know how much he's making, $8 million, $7, $6, whatever it is. If he's not a head coach, he's losing millions of dollars, and it's the last shot. So for nothing else, to remain a very rich man, yes, he needs help. So he's going to go get the best people possible. He went out and got the best defensive coaches he could get. Like, it wasn't about people undermining. Like, he got rid of people and then went and got other strong candidates for his roles. He has a former head coach as his offensive line coach. Like, this idea that he doesn't want strong people around him is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares if people respect Gruden or not.
Good.
Like,
good.
He wants them to. It
he
makes
wants
his job
them to respect
better.
Gruden. And Gruden, if Gruden's not taking this job, if he doesn't respect Dennis Allen. So if players respect Gruden and Gruden respects Allen, that can all work.
There are a million things to be pissed off about. Like, we don't have to manufacture these like wild talking points.
Here's the one I've heard more, though, is that people think the Saints would be hiring Gruden to replace Allen, and it would be just a matter of time. And that's the one that makes even less sense to me, because if Gruden comes in here and the offense is great and they're winning, Allen's not getting fired.
Right.
If Gruden comes in here and it doesn't work, they're all getting fired. So I don't understand a scenario where Gruden comes in here, the offense catches fire, they're winning the NFC South, and they're like, all right, Dennis, you're out. He's now our head coach. He'd be like, this is great. Let's stick with this. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just don't, you know, there's a million things. Like, there's a million things to criticize about this team. There's a million things about DA to criticize.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that he doesn't want good assistants is insane, because that just means he's losing his job.
All right, you brought this up. We're going to finish with this. Since a lot of people think work, you know, the job under Dennis Allen is not an attractive one, we now have a vacancy in all offensive coordinator vacancy in every NFC South team. All four of them are open right now. Rank them. I've got mine in front of me. You got yours in front of you?
Let's go back and forth. What's your fourth?
Panthers, for sure. Panthers would be, no matter who their head coach is. They could have hired Belichick, Harbaugh, Vrabel, a defensive coach. But the fact that they hired an offensive coach who's going to run his own offense makes it really unattractive. And the fact that David Tepper is the owner there and your job security is about 15 minutes makes it really unattractive.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't really know where to go from here. I feel like they're all kind of bunched up. I didn't prepare for this, even though I manufactured the question.
Well, I think there's a clear number one.
There's a clear number one?
I think there's a clear number one.
You think it's the Saints?
No.
All right.
I think it's the Falcons.
You think so? They don't have a quarterback.
They just hired Raheem Morris, who's a defensive-minded head coach, and you get that job security of you're probably going to get at least 2 or 3 years there, and it's a defensive-minded head coach, so it's totally your show on offense. And if they do get the quarterback, they've got a ton of playmakers there. Like, I don't think the Falcons necessarily have a better offense. You just have a better timetable there.
You might have a better timetable, but what if they pick eighth? And what if they botch the QB pick? It could be a terrible job.
Yeah. Then they also might get Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins or, like, I mean,
they could.
I think they're going to address that position.
I don't think it is the Falcons. I was thinking Falcons three. I was thinking two or three Falcons Bucks. I like the sense because at least you know who their quarterback is. Baker without Canales kind of scares me a little bit. There's more underbelly there. I think Carr's underbelly is a little bit higher than Baker's. I feel like 1, 2, and 3 are kind of all the same
bit.
But I like the Falcons' weapons. I like the timetable. But, like, if you screw up quarterback, like, you could be
in
trouble.
I mean, it is huge quarterback limbo there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to say all they need is a quarterback.
They need is a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they could do – Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield level.
Yeah, so do I.
At least.
So do I. And they got better.
Or better.
And you got the running back
makes
life so much easier.
Yeah. I mean,
He's
the Falcons
such a
might be
talent.
The team that trades up with the Bears. We have no idea. They really could be. So I guess we need to know who their quarterback is, but it has the potential to shoot to number one for sure.
It could be number one for sure. Yeah, they got the most upside probably out of every situation. And it's kind of because they have a blank slate, but the blank slate can go either way. So
the Falcons-Bucks is pretty much a tie. I mean, maybe you put the Bucks ahead because they've finished high. If you include winning the Super Bowl as a wild card team, they finished higher than the Saints 4 years in a row in that division. So
you got Saints three.
I had Bucks and Saints basically tied, but I guess I have to give the edge to the Bucks because they've beat out the Saints 4 years in a row. So.
Yeah, I would say Saints, Bucks tied, and the Falcons are unrankable. They're off the board for me right now because until they have a quarterback.
And like we said, Falcons might be the one who wins who you think is the prize of the class, Zach Robinson, because of his close relationship with Raheem Morris, which would make that offense all the more attractive.
Yeah, it would. All right, we're going to keep breaking down the offensive coordinator stuff and everything else. Maybe there'll be some movement on this thing by the next time we talk to you guys. We'll be back on Monday. And for everything else, make sure you check out NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Use the code NOF to save 20% off your first payment. We'll see you next time.